This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining me tonight. We'll kind of veer off the path, if you will, for a few minutes of talking a lot about COVID-19 to talk about something that's also very important. April is Child Abuse Prevention Month. I think, unfortunately, one of the things that kind of had to fall by the wayside was the annual Hands Around the Courthouse event that brings awareness to child abuse prevention and related causes. So I thought we should at least try to take a moment to talk to a couple of people on the Blue Ribbon Task Force that addresses child abuse here in Knox County. Debbie Jo Metzger is with Bridgeway, and Jill Mann is the director of the Knox County Child Advocacy Center, and both are on the phone with me tonight. Ladies, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Debbie Jo, I'll start with you. I imagine it was probably a tough thing to realize that maybe this year's Hands Around the Courthouse couldn't be held, unfortunately.
Yes, we were very disappointed, and a lot of other things that we were planning had to go down the wayside, too.
Yeah, and I should probably ask, just out of curiosity, are Debbie Jo, or both you and Jill, are you both working at home these days?
Yes, I am.
Jill, are you at home, too?
I am, for the most part, working from home. I'm still on call. We go into the office if we have families that need stuff, so, but mostly from home.
Yeah, I was going to ask, you probably have to still come to the office from time to time, and you probably still have some important work to try to do in terms of investigating cases of child abuse, correct?
Right. When we have kids that are brought in for interviews or that need interviews, our team members give us a call or shoot us a text message, and then we kind of coordinate and get in there. We try to be as efficient about our time in there as possible and kind of minimize the exposure that everybody has to each other. But but we do still have to go. And the kids, sometimes the protection of the children, you know, relies on us being able to be there.
And Debbie Jo, I imagine if it were up to you, you would rather be at your office right now, right?
Yes, or in a classroom.
Yeah, there you go. Let me ask both of you, Jill. Maybe I'll start with you first, and Debbie Jo, chime in if you would like. A couple of weeks ago, when I was talking about with the Galesburg Police Chief Russ Idle about how they're handling this whole COVID-19 situation, there was some concern expressed that maybe there might be a bit more, how do I put this, a bit more of a problem with maybe cases of abuse and things like that. Is that a concern you have, or is that a concern you're seeing at this point?
Yes. You know, a lot of times we have teachers, and a lot of people that the kids interact with are mandated reporters.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, reports can come in alleging abuse from those mandated reporters, and a lot of times, you know, that's how these kids and their cases and investigations get started. So with the kids being at home, if there is abuse at home in the household, you know, they don't have access to those mandated reporters. And if that abuse is happening in the household, somebody there, you know, is less likely to make that report. So we are concerned that that's happening, and less of it is getting reported. We kind of anticipate seeing a spike in numbers a little bit when all of this is over and these kids go back to school, day camps, whatever it is that they're going to be doing, you know, and are talking about, you know, what happened while they were at home and out of school. And you know, if they disclose anything, we're kind of anticipating a little bit of a spike in numbers.
Mm. Debbie Jo, I imagine that must be awfully concerning, and almost, if you're a victim, must be awfully a potentially terrifying time.
Yes, it can be. I don't work directly with youth when it comes to child abuse.
Uh-huh.
I work in prevention of drugs and alcohol with youth and communities. But as a community member, there are some things that people can look for.
Yeah.
To make them think maybe the kid might be in trouble or having some problems with abuse. And some of those are the kid would be real fearful or anxious in their behavior. They might be very reluctant to go home. Now, they're obviously home now, but in you know, in the future, that could be something that community members and teachers could look for.
Uh-huh.
They might be very extreme, being very passive or very aggressive behaviors, and tired and or complaining of nightmares, and any kind of major changes in their behavior or changes in their performance at school can be an indication as well. So those are things that people, you know, in the future, when they get to go see, you know, family members that don't live in their home or grandparents who haven't been able to see their kids might be able to recognize some things.
Jill, would you agree with a lot of that?
Yes, I would. You know, when kids sometimes they do act out and stuff, and a lot of times, you know, people don't understand why they're acting out or maybe why they don't want to go home. And I think the, you know, take that into consideration when kids are acting out. But, you know, there's probably a reason for it.
You know, Debbie, Joe, you just mentioned something a minute ago that I think is probably a little bit tied into all of this. Since you said, you know, you work with prevention and things like that with Bridgeway, I imagine in a situation like this that concerns maybe related to drug and alcohol use and abuse might be another big problem at this particular point.
Yes, we know, most people do anyway, that drugs and alcohol can interfere drastically with an individual's ability to reason and remember. And then those factors can also cause them to not have a good ability to care for their children. So that's how that affects there. Also, this can actually cause a lot of chaos within the home if a parent is using alcohol or the drugs. And then it also can predispose the children to abuse as substances.
Mm-hmm.
When they become teens or adults, and which also can mean that the cycle of abuse may continue into the next generation. And depending on what you read, because I've read a lot of this, and it's really hard to say for sure. I don't know that everybody keeps these numbers all the time, but approximately 70% of reported child abuse cases, the abuser or abusers were using alcohol, marijuana, or other drugs.
Jill, do you see a lot of that when you conduct investigations?
A lot of drug usage in the families?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, we do. Percentage-wise, I don't know how much of that, you know, is a cycle sort of thing. You know, a lot of people use drugs and alcohol for a lot of reasons, and sometimes it's because they were abused as children, and so that's how they learn to cope, unfortunately. It's not a healthy coping skill, and it does tend to make them kind of repeat the mistakes of previous generations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely, you know, a factor, and it's a complication there.
Jill, so if you're a kid in a home and you might be feeling perhaps afraid right now, maybe the child's been a victim of abuse or has seen other abuse happen in the home and might be afraid to tell somebody about that, or you call law and, or try to pick up the phone and dial 911 or something. What would you tell them to try to get them to report what they're seeing somehow?
Well, I would definitely say to a child who needed to call, you know, if they were being abused, that they should definitely, you know, call 911. Try to make that report to a dispatcher. They can call the child abuse hotline. Obviously, that's going to vary depending on the age of the child. You know, a 15, 16-year-old might be more comfortable calling that number. You know, a 5- or 6-year-old probably is not going to pick up that phone to do that. Likewise, I would caution, you know, neighbors and community members, you know, if they suspect someone is being abused at home, you know, I would tell them do not confront, you know, the family on that. Maybe stop by with cookies and make observations, or call them and check in and say, you know, how are things? Is there anything you need? We're social distancing. I'm going to the store. Would you like me to pick anything up for you? Kind of just befriend them that way. And then if they need to or they have concerns, to report that on the child abuse hotline or to the police department, and let the professionals handle it. If a lot of times, if if the neighbor just goes over or another family member confronts the parents on that, that can make it so much worse for the child, because mm-hmm. if nothing official happened, that child could continue to be abused, but it also could escalate the problem if the parents think that the child has told someone, or maybe they're just mad about somebody calling them on it. They could take that anger out on the child. So,
right. Debbie, Joe, any thoughts from you on that?
Yes, and anybody who has a suspicion should call that child abuse hotline, and it's 1-800-25-ABUSE.
Okay.
If anybody needs that.
From either of you, and Debbie, Joe, I'll start with you here. Anything else that we should know about the problem of child abuse that maybe has changed or is different now than maybe, say, just a couple of years ago?
The only thing I do have is some information or numbers.
Okay.
Of Knox County. Now, this is 2018
okay.
data, because that's the most recent that we have. And in Knox County, there were 1,169 reports of child abuse. And of those, 72 calls were indicated reports. And that resulted in 45 kids taken into protective custody and 5 confirmed victims of childhood sexual abuse.
Mm.
And that's in Knox County.
Jill, anything you can add to that?
Well, I would tell people, you know, to keep in mind that those numbers reflect what's been reported.
Mm-hmm.
The actual instance of abuse, particularly child sexual abuse, could very well be higher. In fact, it's a lot of studies have shown that it probably is higher, especially when it comes to childhood sexual abuse. The experts are saying, you know, between about 1 in 4 girls and about 1 in 5 boys will be sexually abused before their 18th birthday. Other studies have shown that really only about 30% of abuse cases actually get reported. So when we're talking about the numbers and we're saying, you know, this many were reported and this many were convicted and this many were, you know, indicated or unfounded, keep in mind that that's only a small fraction of probably what's happening that's just not being reported. So yeah, I would tell people, you know, keep your eyes open. I'm sorry?
Go ahead, Debbie, Joe.
I just said to agree. I said absolutely.
Okay. All right. I'm almost out of time, but let me ask both of you. I'll start, Debbie, Joe, with you. Is there anything else that folks should know about Child Abuse Prevention Month?
Well, I would like to, if it's okay, list some of the other agencies that are part of our task force.
Yeah, please
many
do.
Of them have been a part for a long time.
Absolutely. Go right ahead.
Well, Center for Youth and Family Solutions, Safe Harbor, OSF Resource Link, Family Planning, and then Knox County Child Advocacy Center, Knox County Health Department, Knox County Teen Court, CASA, Head Start, Loving Bottoms, Knox County Child Advocacy Center. Sorry,
mm-hmm.
There was more than one.
That's all right.
And that, I think, covers the agencies.
All right. Jill, anything else you'd like to add?
I would add to that list, I'd add that the Regional Office of Education is becoming more involved with the stuff we do, too. So,
okay.
Thank you. They're not
really
on my list.
Is. Well, I was looking up trying to make a list earlier, so I think between the two of us, we've got them all, though, I hope. But, you know, I think it's important to note that the point of this task force really is to create awareness and to help prevent child abuse, and you can tell by all the agencies that do attend the meetings regularly and are a part of what we are doing that we have a really good group of agencies and a lot of services available to help these families in our local communities. And I think that's a great, great thing. So, you know, encourage people that if they want to know more about what we're doing or if they want to help or if they want to see us at anything that we're doing, pick up pamphlets or something to educate themselves, please encourage them to reach out to one of our agencies. I think any of us would be happy to tell them more.
Absolutely. All right. I am out of time on that note. Jill Mann, the executive director of the Knox County Child Advocacy Center, and Debbie Jo Metzger with Bridgeway, thank you so much both for your time, and thanks for all the work that you both are doing in a number of ways to help our community and to help keep our kids hopefully safe. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you for bringing attention to this still.
Yes. Thanks.
We'll come back with business news and more next as Galesburg's Evening News continues on a Friday night here at WGIL. Thanks for joining us this evening.